Welcome to the Configure It Done podcast. This is actually a special series that we started last week, and we've titled this the S4 Do's and Don'ts series. It's a very hot topic at the minute. We've actually got a live podcast in the office soon with Bruce McKinnon, which we'll be looking forward to. But Chris, you've invited a brilliant guest with a wealth of knowledge around S4. So yeah.
Yeah, so we've got Adrian Fernando today from Ixom. We met Adrian at our SAP Knowledge Share group in Melbourne last July, where we were discussing the do's and don'ts of S/4HANA. And so Adrian's on today to share some of his experience, with getting large programs of work approved and how to get the buy-in from the business when putting these approvals together. So thanks for joining us today, Adrian.
Oh, thanks for having me. And yeah, hopefully I can share some nuggets of wisdom gained over many, many years of doing this sort of stuff.
Welcome to the new and improved Configure It Done podcast. The Configure It Done podcast is now a place where we interview senior thought leaders in the SAP space across Australia and New Zealand. And the aim is to tap into their knowledge so we can pass on their insights to the listening SAP community.
This podcast is in partnership with the Black Dog Institute, who aim to create a mentally healthier world for everyone. If you wish to donate to the cause, please click the link below.
Perfect. But you could, for the listeners that don't know you or haven't come across yourself before, Adrian, if you had to give a short overview of your background yourself, just to introduce yourself to the audience, what would that be?
So my career spans over 30 years now. Started in finance, so to start in chartered accounting. Got sick of filling in timesheets, and have had a very lucky and diverse career, actually. After working in chartered for 8 years, headed over to Japan, started teaching English, and then actually decided I thought I could change the way the place I was working at actually operated and put together a proposal. That was my, I guess, foray into strategy work without even knowing it.
Sure.
Was able to get the approval to put in place what I thought needed to be done, got that up and running. Put in new systems as we did that as well. So that was, I guess, moving from finance into strategy and a little bit dabbling in IT. And then after doing that for 2 years, came back to, that was in Japan, came back to Melbourne, got into mining and held a number of, I guess, various roles, but mainly in the commercial space. So looking Sure. after growth projects, et cetera, at Western Mining Corporation. And then probably more through circumstances than anything else, was actually asked to be head of investor relations mm-hmm. at Western Mining just prior to BHP coming in and taking us over. Sure. So that was really interesting. I was one of, I think, less than five people were kept on out of our corporate office. Stayed on for a little while in Melbourne and then got offered a role over in marketing in BHP in the Netherlands, in The Hague. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Went over there as their finance manager for IT. Did that for a year and then was actually appointed vice president of performance and strategy mm-hmm. for the marketing organization. That really gave me a really good insight into how businesses operate, how to optimize parts of the business, and how to bring them together. After doing that for close to 4 years, decided I wanted to come back to Melbourne. There was this little project apparently going on called OneSAP, mm-hmm. And I was asked to come back to Melbourne to head up the deployment side of OneSAP for all of our global corporate functions. So that was how I got into, I guess, SAP mm-hmm. implementations at the time, and did that over, I think it was nearly 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, those types of projects take their pound of flesh with them. Was a bit spent after it, I must admit. and decided to go and do something different. Did that for a little while, but then got dragged into, back into sort of the SAP space. Worked at Village Roadshow to implement business intelligence there, which was a really interesting gig because obviously theme parks and cinemas and so on require a lot of data, and they really didn't have visibility of the data that they really needed on a day-to-day basis. So that was another great learning experience for me. And then after that, went into Devondale Murray Goulburn. They were partway through an SAP implementation. The program director decided he wanted to move on. I got brought in, actually changed the deployment approach based on, well, what I thought would work and what wasn't going to work. We delivered that successfully. And then I went out and started my own consulting business. So basically corporate strategy work. Really focusing on how you leverage technology to drive business optimization. So did lots of IT strategies, but also operational technology strategies as well. But basically what that meant was linking corporate strategy with business strategy and IT strategy to get the best outcomes for the business. So I took a really practical approach in that, and that seemed to be well received, and managed to do that for about 6 years. And then I had a meeting with the now CEO of Ixom, who told me about the challenges they were having with their transformation journey. And he convinced me to come across, and I've been there for nearly 12 months now. And obviously one of the big ticket items that we have to transform our business is to move from SAP ECC6, a very heavily customized environment, across to S/4HANA.
And there'd be a lot of, and thank you for giving us that overview, Adrian. There's a lot of customers at the minute that are having the same challenges, transformational challenges, and moving to S/4. And that's part of the reason why we want to speak to people like yourself with that wealth of experience, and share some of those challenges in the market and share how you could potentially overcome them. So with that S/4 topic, that hot topic, what are some of the barriers that you have seen for companies to commit to an S/4 program? Yeah, if you could share some of those, that would be brilliant.
No worries. Well, I mean, just looking at, I guess, current state of economies across the globe, and obviously SAP is a global product, so we're no different in Australia. There are a lot of economic headwinds out there at the moment, and what comes with that is uncertainty. And then you add on top of that cost to implement. So the investment required to actually transition onto a new ERP platform is not insignificant. Businesses are finding that they have limited capital available. So there's always that capital allocation exercise that needs to go on. So really it's, with that plus, I think with the new SaaS model for licensing as well, where changes to accounting standards, etc., mean hitting the bottom line rather than capitalizing it as well. All of these factors come into play when thinking about, well, are we going to invest the money now into an ERP solution? So I think there are plenty of barriers to actually getting a business case up around this, and I think really what we need to do is make sure that we understand if there is a burning platform for starters, and if there's not, how do we create the business case that clearly demonstrates the value that S/4HANA can bring? And I think also what are the business outcomes that an S/4HANA will deliver as well?
Sure. And you mentioned barriers to entry there for S/4HANA programs, Adrian. I guess, what advice could you share, to customers on how to overcome these barriers to entry?
Yes, yeah, so I think I sort of just touched on one of those topics, and that is to spend the time to really understand what the benefits for the business are. A lot of business cases that I've seen over my time, you know, focus on headcount reduction through efficiency gains, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm yet to see those types of business cases actually realize the benefits they set out to achieve. And look, there's definitely, depending on where organizations are and where they will be post S/4HANA, it's definitely a real thing around driving efficiency gains. However, I don't translate that always to headcount reduction. What I look at when I see efficiency gains, I think of, well, what are people spending their time on? And how can we, I guess, utilize that time to add greater value, right? So it's an elimination of the mundane tasks that these days AI and good solutions, good processes, good reporting can actually achieve with less human effort. And then utilizing that extra capacity it creates to actually deliver greater value for the organization. The other thing is, you know, talking about spending time preparing. It is about really understanding that S/4HANA isn't just we're moving from one solution to the next. It is a journey. Mm-hmm. So really plan out what needs to be done pre, during, and post an implementation. Because it's one thing to say, we can get all these external resources in to deliver these types of projects. The business has to have capacity to actually deliver the outcomes that are required.
Yeah, okay. A lot of the things you were suggesting there, Adrian, it may take a huge change of thinking. Because obviously when you go with a business case, wages and staff, they're a huge cost. So, you know, eliminating some of them can obviously bring down that expenditure. So, yeah, a lot of what you're saying around changing or eliminating some of the mundane tasks, that is a huge change of thinking. And I think there's a lot of business cases at the minute that are essentially falling down. But how can you suggest businesses change their thinking so they can get these business cases over the line?
Yeah. So look, in a lot of organizations, particularly those, if we're talking the S/4HANA space or SAP space, a lot of organizations have been on ECC6 for a very, very long time. More often than not, the people in these organizations have been there for a very, very long time as well. So to me, you know, building that business case is being able to clearly demonstrate what good can look like. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, a slideshow showing all the bells and whistles, etc. It's actually spending the time to understand where the business pain points are currently on the existing solutions. However, I say that with a air of caution. When you look at business pain points, it's amazing how quickly people get used to pain. And therefore, when you ask a business, tell me what your pain points are, you know, they'll go, oh, no, system, it's a bit clunky, but you know, we get by. You know, there's workarounds, all this sort of stuff. So it's not just saying what the business pain points are. It's really understanding how people execute processes end to end, what the handover points are, etc. That's when you start to really see two things. One is where the real pain points are, and that is usually the manual effort, the rework that's required, the handover points, etc. And secondly, it highlights where there are opportunities to streamline, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding that, then being able to translate that into, right, so if we're able to fix these pain points, here are the business outcomes that can be achieved. If you look at that at a high level, again, people are going to, particularly leaders are going to go, oh yeah, we've heard this all before. You need to bring it down sometimes to a team level or even an individual level, right? You need to make it real for the people.
Mm.
And then even once you've got that on paper, it's sometimes not good enough to, again, put it in a slideshow and explain it to people. They need to see it. So, you know, what I think makes a hell of a lot of sense is to build a proof of concept. So using the S4HANA platform, spending the time and money to do that, because it not only then demonstrates what's actually capable, it allows people to actually get on the tools and see what the difference can be. And what the opportunities are, which then leads to buying, right? And a desire to actually move forward and implement this.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, you know, when we talk burning platforms, it's usually, S4HANA is not going to be supported anymore, et cetera, et cetera. To me, the dream burning platform is a business that wants it.
Okay. Right?
That is what I think you need to get to.
Sure. And then I guess if you could give like a top tip around, I guess, getting those business cases approved, like how could you describe that to customers if you could give one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a few. and I think, as I've just said, the starting point is actually identifying or in some instances, creating that burning platform, right? Yeah. The second thing is being able to quantify and demonstrate the business outcomes it sets to achieve at that granular level. So I'm talking individual roles, teams, et cetera, and not just saying, oh, you know, we'll get efficiency gains, et cetera. You actually say, right, here's the manual effort, et cetera, that it will eliminate and therefore address business pain points. But here are the things you don't have today that you will have in the future. And it's actually spending time to understand what the business doesn't have today that it needs to have in the future, and then backwards engineering your design for S4 so that you start with the end goal in mind. And then I think the other tip I would give is your plan needs to be right-sized and right-paced for your business, right? Every business is different. So understand where your business is at, what capacity it has to actually do this successfully, and put a lot of effort into the preparation activities that are required to make these projects successful.
Brilliant. Yeah, some really good insights there. I'm going to share a quick story, Adrian, where this is some of our experience at Precision. I remember we had an old CRM, it was on premise, and we wanted to have our recruiters have access to our CRM anywhere and be remote. And this was probably 9 years ago we'd done this. And when we went through that implementation, I guess, of this new CRM, there was no change management. And I wanted to get a consultancy in to then configure that new system to be exactly the same as our old one. And if I look back now, what we've done is spent a whole load of money to try and get a system that is exactly the same as the old one. Now, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Adrian, this is what some companies are doing around a brownfield, and paste. What are some of the risks and benefits there? Obviously, I've just shared our story there, and it was a lot of cost to get the same system. But what are some of the risks and some of the benefits of a brownfield?
Yeah, I guess part of the risks right at the front end is how you justify effectively a technical upgrade, right? It's still going to cost you millions of dollars to do it. And what are the benefits from it? You're on a more stable platform. You've got maintenance support, right? That's as far as it goes, basically. So how you can actually justify that right at the front end for a technical upgrade is very, very difficult. However, from a benefits perspective, like if you compare the cost of a brownfield implementation versus a bluefield or a greenfield implementation or somewhere in between, it's a lot cheaper, right? So why would you do it? So first thing for me would be, and really even discussing this at Ixom in terms of what our options are in terms of deployment approach, it's at least starting the journey, right? There's always pushback to even start the journey. So if you're able to demonstrate, well, let's get on this platform, and being on the platform then gives us an opportunity to get users, you know, used to new interfaces, et cetera, et cetera. And then you plan basically an improvement program over the next 3 to 5 years. And you start to progressively introduce new S4HANA technology and functionality as you go, right? So that is definitely, I guess, a less riskier way of doing it. Requires a hell of a lot less change and can be right-paced for organizations, because it's not big bang. You can do it at your pace, right? Gotcha. But at least you're on the S4HANA platform. However, I'd still struggle if it was to just go, yeah, we're just going to cut and paste onto S4HANA, but things really don't change, right? Business might love that, particularly those that, you know, are very used to doing it the way they've always done it. Yeah. That could be very appealing.
That was so me.
What I would suggest is to start to get people to think, at least as part of that brownfield implementation. I think you need to pick at least, you know, a handful of things that you introduce that are lower, I guess, change impact, but high visibility, right? So in terms of the benefits some of the new functionality can actually introduce. I mean, when we did a session with SAP that not that long ago, where they demonstrated the new functionality around finance, and compared to ECC6, it's a real step change, right? Yeah. There's certain things we would need to do at Ixom to enable that, i.e. moving from business areas to profit center accounting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but if you're able to do that, then people start to go, oh, I didn't know that, right? And then it creates, hopefully, a desire for more, right? So rather than then you saying, as a program of work, saying, right, the next thing we want to do is X followed by Y, what the business will hopefully start doing, and this is through the proof of concept. So, and because your proof of concept now becomes your brownfield implementation, you can start to show them what the new functionality is capable of doing. And it creates a pull from the business rather than the project push. And I think that's what makes a huge difference there.
Yeah, yeah. This is driving, is it? That's the real sweet spot.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, for sure. And when we were speaking before, Adrian, you could see obviously that you're very passionate about, you know, the preparation ahead of a large project. So, because once the business case is approved, all systems go with an S4HANA program. Because what are some of the key elements that you need to do in preparation for that program?
Yeah. So the way I look at it, you know, you've got, you know, I think most people go, ah, this is what you need to do up front. What I look at is, for, you know, probably more recent projects, using the technology that you're looking to implement, is understanding where certain elements of those projects failed, right? Really spending time in your networks, you know, using you guys as well, and the forums that you run, to speak with other organizations who have done it, and really understand where things could have been done better or where things just outright failed. Then looking at those, start building a plan as part of your preparation so that you mitigate that risk going forward, right? So, you know, there's always common themes that come through. It's around data, it's around change management, it's around reporting. I see a lot of organizations, you know, they talk about data and cleansing and enrichment and so on and so forth, all absolutely critical. In fact, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, you could spend the greatest amount of money on, you know, the newest and greatest ERP solution, and you will get nothing out of it unless your data is accurate, is in the right hands, and is accessible, right? Yeah. Without that, you may as well stay on spreadsheets, basically, right? So I think, you know, but then there is also the reporting side. So rather than thinking about your data and what opportunities that will give you, what I would recommend is having a look at your current reporting suite, spending time with the business to say, if you had a wish list, right, what are the things you would love to have that you don't have today? Yeah. Start mocking up some of those reports. Once you really understand what your reporting needs are, then work backwards to say, well, what data do we need to actually get to that endpoint, rather than doing it the other way around?
Yeah.
That way, you know, a lot of projects that go live, reporting is a bit of an afterthought, right? Yeah. They base their reporting on satisfying the needs of the business pre go live, right? Or, you know, how they've always done things. They miss that opportunity to say, well, how can we do it better? For me, that's what should drive everything else. That's what your whole data strategy should be about. Mm-hmm. And then obviously change management, right? So, you know, it's not good enough for me or for any organization to say, oh, we've got a change management team and they're responsible for change. Change is the responsibility of absolutely everyone in the business, and it's driven from leadership down. So how do you actually make sure that is both achievable and practical? With an S/4HANA implementation, it's about getting leadership involved right at the start to understand those pain points, to understand where you want to get to, and your leadership really believing that it's going to make a difference. Now, there are going to be things that are just must-haves, right? So de-risking the business, for instance, right? But it's those opportunities. It's the what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. If you get leadership on board at the front end, they free up the capacity of their teams to be part of the initial workshops where we try and understand those pain points, that try and understand what the opportunities are, give them ownership of it as well, right? Then that's really what starts to drive the change management. Again, it's that the push versus pull discussion we were having earlier. The more you have your leadership committed to it and believing in it, the higher chance of success.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that. Love that, Adrian. It definitely has to come from the top. Yeah, to drive that change management. That's brilliant insight. I've really, really enjoyed some of these insights, and I'm sure there'd be a lot of people out there that have taken these little nuggets of gold and they could maybe implement into their day job. So thank you for that, Adrian. But if you had to leave one message to our listeners today, obviously you've covered a whole lot, but if you had to summarize that S4 transformation, that S4 journey, and if you're a customer and you're having doubts and you're not sure, what would be your message to summarize?
Yeah, I think, you know, building business cases is usually done in isolation. It's, you know, what are all the benefits for implementation and new functionality and all of that. A lot of time, the context of the business is actually not taken into consideration. So it's understanding what those economic headwinds are. It's understanding what the current and near-term challenges of the business are, and then developing a business case and a plan that fits in with those circumstances that the business is facing. It then shows that you're not only thinking about an ERP implementation as a technical implementation, it's actually showing the business that you understand what they're up against and how the deployment of this will not only help improve and address their pain points, achieve the opportunities that they're missing out on today, but it also is paced so that the business has the capacity and time to actually deliver the project hand in hand with the project team. And that is absolutely critical. So, you know, building business cases in isolation, in a perfect world, you go, yep, here it is. This is why we do it. Off you go. That's not reality. You need to show that you understand the business first, you understand the challenges of the business, build your business case around that, pace it right, and then you've got a higher chance of actually getting these things across the line.
Brilliant. How good was that? Adrian, thank you so much for today and sharing those insights. I'm sure the listeners will learn a lot. Like I said,
I hope so.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Please like, share, comment, and subscribe to the Configure It Done podcast.